Boom goes the dynamite. You've tuned in to the Free Range Human Show of Choice, your daily dose of reality radio. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I am, of course, Clay Edwards, and we are live here on 103.9 FM WYAB. All across the airwaves in central Mississippi and streaming worldwide at WYAB.com. If you want to chime in today, the Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. Just think, the year before we nuked the Japs, 1944. 769-241-1944. We've got mine and your favorite blue-haired liberal from Bellhaven, Sean Yerkron, in the studio. Sean, we were eating lunch at Martin's Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, you hadn't been on here since then.
Yeah.
And this nice lady walks up to us and is telling me she listens to the show.
Oh, I was with you.
Yeah. And she looks over at Sean. She goes, "You must be Sean. Your hair's not blue."
I think she said, "Are you the attorney?" She was a nice lady, but, you know, randomly just walked up to you and just said, what did she say? I listened to you at drive time or something.
She said, "Believe it or not, you have a middle-aged white woman that listened to your show."
That's what it was.
Something to that extent.
Yeah.
I was like, heck yeah. Somebody other than my girlfriend listens. Thank y'all.
There you go. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
But she was like, "You don't have blue hair."
No.
Do you get that much?
Yeah, sometimes now everybody likes to make the. I was in court and someone said that the other day. So, I was like, yeah, no. But who actually has blue hair? Does it even? I guess there are those Gen Z liberals that do.
There's some Gen Xers. There's some chubby Gen Xers that you'll see around here. Less than attractive women. I'm not saying there's not some attractive women that put some color in their hair.
Yeah.
But the stereotype I'm referring to is the overweight. Haven't seen the sun in 3 damn days, very pasty, pale white, ugly tattoos, and have blue hair, and they just like bullhorn usually in the bottom of their nose, a bull ring.
Yeah.
And you know who I'm talking about.
I know you're talking about now the way you describe. I just, you know, the older I get, this sounds kind of funny, I'm lose track of trends. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there was a time. Everybody's talking about everybody's got a man bun like a few years ago, and I don't know when that started. Is that gone now, or is the man bun not
no,
cool?
The man bun is not gone. I see it regularly and often in Rankin County, of all places.
Okay, so that's still a thing.
This Gen Zers like their man buns.
And like they got these thin mustaches that they do, and you know where sometimes I see they're bogarting the Chuck Taylors. I've noticed that too.
Look, my girlfriend likes man buns. I'm not going to satisfy that kink for her, but I know that she tried to get her oldest son to grow his hair out and put it in a man bun. He's like,
he decided he wasn't gonna do that.
Yeah, he's like, no, hoss, it ain't going down like that. So some people do like the man bun. Moral to my story, it's not my thing. I've had long hair before, but I was more of a traditional ponytail guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad's had long hair my entire life.
Okay,
he's always had hair long enough. To pull, well, with the exception of one time when he was coaching softball for my sister, he had a little shorter, but generally speaking, as he's had long hair my entire life, so I was always, that's what I grew up around, traditional ponytail. He was more my dad is not a biker, he doesn't have a single tattoo, he doesn't dress like a biker, none of that stuff, or what you would, your stereotypical biker, but he has long gray hair, and his hair has been gray my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, so just vision that kind of look. So
yeah, I just also we've gotten old enough to where like we're seeing the trends come back. Like, so is it the 90s back? I've seen some of that going on.
Well, yeah, well now it's 90s nostalgia. Okay. You know, it was 80s nostalgia for the last decade or so. Now we're in 90s nostalgia.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Actually, we're getting into 2000s nostalgia, really. I mean, because I read an article yesterday about the Creed reunion on Polestar. They're like the concert industry magazine.
Yeah.
And they deemed it the most unlikely massive comeback ever. Like, it exceeded everybody, even their own expectations. They're expected to sell on this run of tickets alone, this run of shows alone, 700,000 tickets in North America.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and that's just on two legs here.
I mean, and they were a popular, I think that first album came out like 97, if I remember correctly, wasn't it?
96, 97. And then when Human Clay came out, the second one.
Yeah.
Of course, that's when things just, with Arms Wide Open and all that.
Yeah, took off.
This thing is those 6 million copies, you know, crazy stuff. So,
I always, you know, and I like Creed. Then don't get what I'm going to say is anything bad, but I always got confused with some of those bands of that era where, you know, you had Stone Temple Pilots in the 90s. I always felt like Creed and Nickelback, like, sounded like Stone Temple Pilots.
They did. They were a more pop friendly grunge.
Yeah.
It's Three Doors Down, too. They called it post grunge.
Post grunge, exactly. That's true. Yeah.
Post grunge. I thought Creed, especially the first album, was really a good heavy rock album.
Yeah.
With
My Own Prison.
Yeah, My Own Prison and all that. Stuff, to me, that's a way heavier album. And to me, that's the Creed I like. And I don't remember, I love the other stuff, Higher and all that. I dig it, but I would love if they redid a new version of but they went back to that sound of that first album, just real gritty and just hard rock, some good hooks and roll on.
Yeah, that song I remember coming out my freshman year in college. I thought it was good. I still like that song. That album is actually a good album. But they just kind of sounded, I guess you're right, that post-grunge where everything sounded like Stone Temple Pilots again to me.
Yeah, like that's good. I mean, Stone Temple Pilots, they weren't as grungy as some of the other big grunge, but like, they had hooks is what I mean.
They did.
Like you could, Stone Temple Pilots, you could tell, was influenced by your Motley Crue and Poisons of the world. And what I mean by that is just good hooks, like songs you can sing along to.
Yeah, like Interstate Love Song and all that kind of stuff. It was a different band than maybe, say, Soundgarden and Pearl Jam, Nirvana of that era.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different kind of, you know.
I mean, gosh, man, they have a song, I Am Smelling Like a Rose. I mean, that's just one of the best intros ever.
Oh, the first two Stone Temple Pilots albums are amazing.
Yeah, I watched a good documentary on them the other day. It wasn't behind the music, but it was the rise and fall, the sad story of Stone Temple Pilots. Mm-hmm. There's on the True Rock and Roll Stories YouTube channel. Really well put together for a YouTube channel.
I need to watch that one. Okay, YouTube channel I'm talking about. It's all True Rock and Roll Stories.
That's the name of it, True Rock and Roll Stories. And they do a lot of good stuff. You know, it's not like interviews with them, but snippets of other interviews and stories and this, that, and the other. And you actually learn a lot of stuff you didn't know. And I consider myself a bit of a rock and roll history person. Yeah. Like, if there's music trivia, I'm winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least up to around 2000.
Yeah, that seems to be the cutoff for all Gen Xers.
Yeah, 2000. So after 2000, you know, once I'm all the way good up to Cash Money Records taking over for the 99 and the 2000, but after that, I'm kind of lost.
Yeah, you know, I used to be into all those music biographies too, and I'd read them all. I don't know if everybody's read The Dirt, but it's a really great book. And they based a Netflix movie off of the book. It's about Motley Crue, by the way.
Yeah,
the movie's good. It's not great. It could have been better.
About The Dirt.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, look, it's better than I thought, but the fact that they left out the whole Pamela Anderson thing.
Yeah,
she threatened to sue and this, that, and the other, but. It's a movie about Motley Crue by Motley Crue. So there was a lot of stuff left out of there. Razzle getting killed.
Yeah.
The whole Pamela Anderson stuff. I would have liked to have seen, you know, the part about where Kid Rock knocked Tommy out at the VMAs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it's all part of their story, but whatever. I enjoyed it. I've watched it two or three times because it's so much nostalgia, and it was really done well. If you're a true Motley Crue fan, the stage productions that they used in that were so accurate to the stages of those different eras on the two or three different tours they showed. So I did appreciate that as a production nerd.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I liked it, but I guess having read The Dirt several times before I ever watched that, because The Dirt came out, I don't know how many years ago when I read
2020.
It. 2020. Yeah, something like that. And that book is so good if you're into that kind of stuff.
The Heroin Diaries is really good, too.
Never read
Nikki's
that one.
Nikki's next one. Oh, okay. Good. So, all right, let's do this. Let's take an early break. Come back. Hit the reset button. We'll have a longer segment coming up. The last Confederate soldier has resigned from his post in Jackson, Mississippi. Robert E. Lee, middle initial not confirmed. But for the sake of this story, we're not going to let that get in the way. We'll be right back on the Clay Edwards Show. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, burgers, blues, barbecue is what's for lunch today. All three locations, downtown Madison, downtown Brandon, Highway 80 there, Brandon 042. And of course, they're in Flowood now, the brand new location. Super cool little spot, man. Right there in Dogwood, right there on right off Lakeland Drive. You can't miss it. Right in front of Dick's Sporting Goods. Super neat. It's kind of a smaller patio, but the bar It's cool. It's built, half of it's inside, half of it's outside. And it's got like the roll up door. So if it's too cold, they keep the door closed, or too hot, I guess. But a super neat little spot. Great place to go have lunch, have some drinks, have dinner. And hey, if you're out riding around right now, it's a beautiful morning. It's starting to warm up some. Go grab some breakfast at the Madison and the Flowood locations. They got chicken and waffles. They have homemade cat head biscuits with chicken in the middle of them. We call it a chicken biscuit down south. That ain't an empty pan of biscuits like Andy Gibson had. That story went away. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, that went away. They have the pancakes and some other items as well, fruit and all that good stuff. Get over there, try them today. They have a blue plate special every day, every Monday through Friday, at Burgers Blues Barbecue. And every day on the menu, you have hamburger steak, and then they have another rotating meat. Maybe it's fried pork chops. Maybe it's like today is Wednesday. Today it's red beans and rice with sausage, and or hamburger steak is your meat of choice on the Blue Plate special. This month's hamburger special is the Bacon Jam Smash Burger. I think it's like $10.99 with fries. You can always add a bunch of extra stuff to it and turn it into a $20 burger if you want, like I do every time I go. Well worth every penny of it, by the way. Try the chicken wraps. Try one of their B3 bowls. If you're health conscious, they have plenty of great options for you too, whether it's keto or a low-calorie diet. They got you covered at Burgers Blues Barbecue. Need a catering job done? They can take care of that from 5 to 5,000 people, and they have two food trucks for all of your events as well. Check them out online, burgersblues.com. Sean, the Confederacy. The Confederacy. I need my Cartman. The Confederacy. How did it slip my mind that the city of Jackson had a white dude named Robert Lee?
I have no earthly idea.
Working for them?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, for 20 years, this guy worked. It wasn't good 20 years ago, but compared to now, Jackson ran like Madison 20 years ago.
We're looking at Jackson 2004 as like a wonderfully run city. We're doing revisionist history there.
I mean, Harvey Johnson is like Mayor Mary.
Yeah, compared to what's going on now, yeah, he is. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'd trade 2004 Jackson for 2024.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah. I know I would, except for the brewery and all that stuff in Belhaven and some of the stuff in Fondren. But other than that,
could you imagine having to be the engineer in public works, the lone engineer that the city has working for the Lumumbas?
I mean, I guess if you like pain, you know, you have to just have a high threshold for pain.
Yeah.
Taking it, you know what I mean?
You think maybe it was like a kink?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, because like, how do you take that? Because what, Chokwe's been mayor for what now? 6 years? Is that right?
Yeah,
6 or 7 years? Something like that. 7 years, I think. So I don't know, man. That might be the kind of guy you want to hire for something, though. If you can put up with all of that, you know, you can put up with Chokwe talking about how the traffic lights are on the long list of infrastructure repairs, and just say that stand by him with a straight face. It's just kind of.
I mean, why didn't they just make him public works director? Did he not want the job? Did he do it internally for
job?
A while? No.
Right? That's enough, you know, think about how bad that would be.
I mean, because I saw what they were paying, and the pay sucks compared to, like it's entry-level stuff compared to, like, what the state pays and all that. Let's see here. The pay was kind of shockingly low. WLBT actually had a good little write-up about it here. Okay. The position pays between $52,000 and $63,000 a year. And I'm not saying that ain't good money. It is under a Biden one, it's not good money. But anyway, it says essentially the same as an engineer in training position makes at MDOT.
Okay.
So this dude with 20 years experience of dealing with Jackson, was that, you're way overqualified.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, you know how to. You know the old saying, like the
you've been in a foxhole.
You know the old duct tape thing.
Yeah,
like I mean, this guy knows you can't duck it, F it. I mean, he knows how to fix stuff that you didn't know could be fixed. So let's just pretend for a second he's going to a private company or he's going to go work for MDOT.
Yeah,
he's going to be like, hold on, there's new pipes.
Yeah, or you know, he's seen every scenario that you can see. Oh, obviously, yeah. We used to in Jackson.
Obviously, he didn't fix them. But
I mean,
I'm kidding.
Jackson's got a great, but you think about Clay, Jackson's a training ground for a lot of professions. Because we used to say this when I was at the DA's office. So I'd go to all these national prosecutors conferences and I'd tell them, you know, only 3 or 4 years into the job, how many murder cases I had tried. And these people were like, you've tried a murder case at this point in your career? Like, yeah, I mean, we got so many. There's no choice. Everybody has.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just so you'd advance in experience so quickly because of all the problems in the city. Apparently that relates to the public works, police, the DA, everybody. You just
100%. You know, and unfortunately, you don't get paid per arrest, per case.
No.
Per natural disaster, self-inflicted crisis of incompetence disasters. You just get paid what you get paid. But it is a great way, a great place to go get experience. I mean, look at all the police that JPD sends through their training school, and then they leave.
Yeah. I mean, and they've got tons of experience behind their belt. They've seen this worst kind of crime you could see and dealt with it and all that kind of stuff. You know, when I was at the DA's office, I used to go up to Montana sometimes to go skiing, and I'd sit there and watch the TV in the morning, and they'd be like, well, look, on, you know, a neighbor, Susie, was stuck on her snowmobile, and we at the sheriff's department had to go get her. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how nice would that be if you just lived in an environment when that was like that made the nightly news that somebody got stuck on their snowmobile? Like, how does that, I mean, can you imagine that we were like turning on the news and that was like somebody, you know, Bobby got his car broken down on State Street and the cops helped him? Like, it just,
literally a cat in a tree.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, is this Mayberry or something? So. And then you come here, and it's like, you know, there was 15 murders tonight, and, you know, there'll probably be some more before midnight.
Well, let's talk about murders here for a second.
Yep.
You know how many Jackson's sitting at so far?
I have no – I mean, I don't keep count.
29 homicides. I'm trying to get into my ex account here while we talk. And
so what is – what is that – what pace is that putting us on for last year and the year before?
Well, that's what I was trying to get to in my ex account. The computers must have rebooted up here.
I gotcha.
And that's not what I need. I was just kind of multitasking here. I'm pulling it up here on WLBT's murder map.
Right.
And, you know, of course, Jackson's the only one with a homicide tracker because, you know, crime happens everywhere.
There's not like a Mize murder map on there. Mm-mm. Something like that.
No, it's still sitting at 28, but it's 29. It was at 28 last week, and somebody got killed. So comparatively speaking to last year at the same time,
mm-hmm.
We were at 34. So we're slightly off track here.
We're doing better.
We are. There'll be a burst. The hotter it gets, we'll start getting some of those 3 and 4 murder days, yeah. Especially when school gets out.
I thought there was
an election year.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be worse, actually, because it was a relatively mild winter. So I figured there might be more chances for people to be outside and, you know, kill each other. Like, that's what I thought, because all kidding aside, that's true. That's what it happens more than, I mean, when it's cold and stuff.
Oh, and you know, and a lot of these murders are 14 to 17 year olds, 18 year olds doing it. Mm-hmm. When they're not in school, they're murdering folks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the neighborhood, we used to always say that the summer you get kind of worried because that's in the summer and Christmas season, because that's when things are going to happen.
So, night before last, the news broke yesterday.
Mm hmm.
That a 14-year-old kid from Brandon, it must have been the 047 side of Brandon because he's a Northwest Rankin middle school student. I was able to confirm that. Went to Jackson, was for whatever reason, maybe he was visiting family, friends, whatever. Maybe he's somebody who came from Jackson and went back to hang out with friends. Got shot, killed over off Ridgecrest Drive, which is over off Savannah Street, I believe. Yeah. South Jackson, you know. Got shot multiple times, found dead in the street. And I did a video about 10:30 last night, right before I went to bed. And I just said, guys, and I cussed a lot in it. But I just making the point that if you live in the county, if you live in Madison, if you don't live in Jackson, and I'm talking to kids here, not adults. I mean, frankly, I could have this conversation for adults, too. Outside of like Fondren, Bellhaven, that area where Martins and Hallamals is, you know, kind of some of that. Basically, we'll just call it the CCID. Outside of that, you have no business going to Jackson. There's not a single thing in South Jackson that you need to go to South Jackson for. And we got drugs in Rankin County.
That's what I was about to say, drugs.
I'm sure we got drugs in Rankin County if that's your thing. Madison, I'm sure, you know, Canton's got some dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the difference is drug dealers go to jail in those two places. But there ain't no girl worth going over there to get. Ladies, there ain't no guy worth going over there for. There's no friends worth having over there. I'm not saying there ain't good people there, but it ain't worth risking your life to go do it. Because if you're over there listening right now, I don't want you to think, you know, I'm talking bad about you, because I'm not ever going to throw the baby out with the bathwater completely. My parents live right down the road from there. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it. So, parents, you need to have a strong, strong talk with your children about them going to Jackson for anything. I mean, they killed a middle school student, shot multiple times, left dead in the street in Jackson. And this ties us back to Northwest Rankin.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 7-8 days, last 7 days, from Tuesday to Tuesday, they had a 14-year-old girl, a student out there, kill her mother, who was a teacher there.
Yeah.
They have a 14-year-old male get killed in Jackson. And I'm not blaming the people who got killed on the desk. I don't want this to come across like that. What I'm trying to paint here is a picture of what do these kids, staff, teachers, families of the Northwest Rankin, that's a lot for a young audience. I call it a young audience, but that is a lot for a young mind to cope with and understand in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying everybody was friends with this, but surely there's some crossover there where somebody knew all three people. The girl is going to be in jail for the next 20 or so years, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Two other people are dead. They ain't coming back. And I know Northwest Rankin, I think it's the largest single school in the state.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so. I know it is around here. As far as actual attendance. I'm just saying, man, there's a lot going on out there. I talked to some other folks. They have kids out there. There's a lot of weird kids in the school. That think they're trans, or not think, they are trans. It's a big, weird school district over there. I don't know if you want to call it a district, but a school. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, that ain't got nothing to do with somebody getting killed in Jackson. I guess my point is, that's just got a lot for a student body and the staff over there to cope with in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be tough for anybody that's young and sees that many people get killed or in those circumstances. So.
I mean, think about this right now. There's not that much going on at any Jackson school right now.
Not that I've heard of. I mean, unless we're missing something.
We hadn't heard about any students getting killed.
No, I haven't heard about that. Not in a long while, at least as far as I can remember.
I'm not saying that the people that killed this kid weren't JPS students.
Yeah, do you know anything about the circumstances? I just pulled the article out. They don't have any real details.
Zero details. You know, it does have his name there.
I see that.
In the WLBT article. What was it?
The kid's name. It's Cameron Horn Crook.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. It doesn't say anything else about it. So, you know, but I do notice something this morning that they in Jackson they like to do a lot is a crime summit. Have you noticed I'm going to start calling it the Crime Summit Industrial Complex.
Oh, yeah, they love their they've shifted away from marches.
It's a crime summit all the time. So they were talking about they had one yesterday, and then apparently Kenny Stokes is having one tonight. And I'm just I'm not saying they may be valuable. I don't know. But there's sure a lot of them. And I mean, I just wonder, is anything productive come from these meetings, or is this just a complaint session? I don't know what it is. I've never been to one. Oh, I've been to one actually in Bellhaven before, but there just seems to be a lot of crime summits.
Yes, a lot of crime summits. That's like these prayer rallies and peace marches and.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Jackson, when they do balloon releases, people get killed. There's retaliation killings.
Yeah.
Nothing is sacred in Jackson. And, I mean, I've come off a pretty good weekend in Jackson, personally, but the inner workings, the behind-the-curtain part of Jackson is still Jackson. You know, people were behaved for a day at the parade, so much so that one guy got upset with me for not acknowledging nobody died in Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, last year was the only year somebody died at the parade, right? I think, as far as I can remember. So, yeah. I mean,
Rankin County trash going down there and killing one
another. That's right, Rankin County bringing their crime to Jackson. That was the problem with that. So, I mean, you know. But that was the only time. I mean, I remember something happened. I mean, I'm sure there's been, like, car break-ins or whatever, but I don't remember any murders down there. in the 20 years I've been going to that parade.
Let's read a few texts on the Guns and Gear text line before we take it to the break. Rachel says, and unfortunately, people think it's okay for their kids to call themselves furries at Northwest Rankin. There's a lot of weird, I'm telling you, there's a lot of weird stuff going on out there. I got a story.
What is a furry?
It's the kids that dress up as animals. It's like trans, but they think they're animals.
Okay.
Like they wear the furry outfits, like the full-on costumes.
I'm going to have to Google this one. They do? Like, they think they're animals?
Yeah, they go to conventions, and they have some form of, like, intercourse with the costume on.
Oh.
There's like, documentaries about furries.
Okay.
You're from Bellhaven. You know damn well there's some furries
in Bellhaven.
I've never
seen anybody dressed like an animal rocking around town. Now, I've seen people probably wear masks to rob people around there before, but I've never, maybe like an animal mask, but I've never seen someone deliberately, you know, dress up like an animal that said they were an animal. I mean, unless they were like into BDSM or something or whatever, what they got out the house. But.
Well, it's some version of that.
Some version.
All right. Rachel also says, I was told this weekend the Rankin Middle School literally provides litter boxes for kids who identify as furries. And if your kid thinks they are a cat, they are much bigger issues here. Now, look, there's been a strong rumor going on, and the Brandon principal denied it to me. But I've heard from way too many people that there is, in fact, a litter box at Brandon High School for this girl that identifies as a cat. Well, that story won't go away.
Well, I just Googled what a furry is, and there's a lot of stuff about this. There's even a Wikipedia page on furry fandom.
There's a HBO documentary about it. I'm almost positive they did a documentary. That's before it turned into like this really weird thing. Let's see here. Let's play through these texts real quick. Unknown texter Clay, has anyone asked the question, how did the 14-year-old get to that area in Jackson? I mean, it's not a bike or he drove himself. There are others involved with information. Yeah, well, that's why I threw out the, you know, maybe his parents are separated and he's down there with another parent. And this is just complete speculation on my part. I have no idea. With a name like Cameron, that sounds like a white kid.
I think that's a good assumption.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not Dejanay. You know, I mean, it sounds like a white kid. So I'm just going to speculate. And, you know, again, my family's white. They live in South Jackson. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. Or was he down there for more nefarious reasons? You know, it doesn't matter. He's dead. You know, he's dead. And that's all that matters. You know, so, yeah. But to your point, to the texter's point, somebody knows why or how he got down there. And they should, who was he hanging out with? There should be some questions answered. White or black, that's not, I guess my point is, if he's white, I have more questions about what are you doing in South Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, okay, like maybe more nefarious reason why he's there, and
yeah,
that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, who knows? I mean, it's they haven't released. I mean, if you're 14, you can't drive yet, so I don't know. Is he wanting to see friends? Did somebody drop him off? How did that work?
I mean, there's been stories for years. There was a kid that came to Jackson from Brandon years ago, and I've told this story. Mm-hmm. It was actually in my parents' former convenience store parking lot. We did not run it at the time. We were renting it out mm-hmm. to some people, mm-hmm. and a kid came down. There's mixed stories about what he was down, whether it was to buy alcohol underage or to buy some marijuana or something, and he got killed in the parking lot of the store.
I remember that. Wasn't he a Brandon High School player?
Yeah, either player or a band member, one of the other. And I want to say maybe band member, and he was down there for practice, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. One of my friends was friends with him, and we can find that story out. But this has been happening for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like these kids from the suburbs coming to Jackson for whatever reason and get killed.
Yeah. I mean, I think in all candor, I mean, when we're younger, who hasn't done stupid things like that? You know, do nefarious, buy certain illegal stuff. You know, I mean, kids do that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
yeah.
it's good. I'm just saying it's reality.
I want to make sure here. I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about the kid. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make a point that we've all done it.
Sure.
And I should be more than dead for the times I was doing it. Driving myself at 15 years old when you can get your driver's license at 15 mm-hmm. into the worst parts of Jackson to hang out with my friends, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's just, you know, something. I mean, young people don't make good decisions. Like, that's just a fact of life.
Moral to the story, parents, talk to your children about not going to Jackson. And if you have a kid and you live in Jackson, I pray for you. I do. It's just, there's no value for human life. in certain areas from a certain age group, demographic of folks that were just raised in a different generation. There's just no value for human life.
I mean, that's what we've seen, especially over the last 7 years. I mean, it's been a lot of the kids committing the crimes are under 18. Well, I wonder what the percentage on that is. I bet it's rather high.
I'm sure.
I mean, just somebody, you know, committing homicides too. So that's that's the biggest thing. Cause, you know, when you think about it, somebody that's 16 isn't really thinking. I mean, it doesn't matter whether white or black, they're just a kid sometimes. Yeah. And you're just, and then you get involved with a certain group of friends and then you get influenced and then bad stuff happens. I mean, and, you know, especially if it's like you've been raised in an environment where that's acceptable. And then that's why you see this rash of murders that was going on, especially, I remember, you know, right around 2021, it was really, really bad with these young kids killing everybody and carjacking people and all that stuff.
Hold that thought. We got to take a break. This is the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yerkeron. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. We're live here on WYAB. This segment is going to be brought to you by my friends over at Southeastern Power Sports, located right there on Highway 51 North in Madison. If you pass Yandale Road, keep going down. They're going to be right there on your right. You'll see the little old four-wheeler they've turned into a sign that says Southeastern Power Sports. Hey, guys, are you looking for a pre-owned ATV side-by-side? Maybe with a three-wheeler here and there. I don't know. Anyway, stop by Southeastern Power Sports. Check them out. They've always got some pre-owned stuff available. But what they're specialized in is the maintenance and repair of your current side-by-side or four-wheeler. But, hey, look, don't bring any of that cheap Chinese crap to them. They ain't gonna work. They ain't gonna work on it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste theirs. Sorry about your luck. You want a service. Sorry, I'm having a... Sean was playing with his phone and it threw me off here. I got to blame it on somebody.
Yeah, my fault.
Man, look, they got you covered on all of your repairs, tune-ups, oil changes, programmers, wheels and tires, winches, bumpers, windshields, lift kits, and stereo systems for your side-by-side or ATV. And look, Joe that owns the place is a retired law enforcement officer and Marine. So get over there. You're doing business with a good person. But look, there's usually a wait. So if you need it this weekend, you probably should have got it there last week. So don't wait. The sooner you get it there, the sooner you get it fixed. It's going to be fixed right. They're going to shoot you straight. A lot like my guys over at A1 Gear and Auto. They're going to diagnose it right. They're going to shoot you straight. And sometimes they're just going to tell you, hey, man, it ain't worth fixing. And try to save you some money on that end. That's Southeastern Power Sports, 1994A, Highway 51 North, Madison, Mississippi. You know the zip code, 39110. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Just search Southeastern Power Sports. That's an easy name to remember. It's like Southeastern Sports.
Or conference, right?
Conference is the word I was looking for, not sports. Yeah, Southeastern Conference. Just some of Southeastern Power Sports. All right, Sean, let's shift gears away from deceased kids.
Yeah.
Because we could have a whole conversation about that all day. Jason texts in real quick, though, and says, JPS does not have students. They're called scholars now. I forgot about that, too,
yeah.
Now, you want to talk about grinding my gears?
Yeah.
The future rocket scientists and engineers are now scholars?
Yep. Yeah, was that, like a year ago we were talking about that?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Our little scholars. No, your students. Why do we keep trying to change the name of stuff? Why do Democrats do that, Sean?
I mean, I don't know why anybody changes the name of anything.
NBA owners are not allowed to be called owners anymore because the majority of the NBA is black, so apparently it's racist to work for an owner.
Is that true? Yeah. I don't follow the NBA.
Yeah, 100%. I hate the NBA. I hate basketball on all levels. It is my least favorite sport. I'd rather watch soccer.
Yeah, I'm just never been into it. I've just never really watched basketball. Nothing against people like it. It's not something that, I don't watch soccer either though. So.
Yeah, I would rather watch soccer. I mean, I don't like it either. But if I had to pick between the two, if you had to take my eyelids open and make me watch one, I guess I would rather watch soccer.
I've been to basketball games live many times. That's kind of fun, but that's about it.
The crowd at a soccer stadium is actually better than the game. Like, yeah. They are into it. I don't know if they're having to entertain themselves because soccer's so boring or what, but they're into it, and I love watching them with all their dancing and they play that sand song that South Carolina plays. Sand, you know what I'm talking about? It's that club song from the 90s.
Yeah, right.
Sandstorm.
Yep.
Sandstorm. Anyway, soccer crowds are insane. I would love to go to an English soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even a Mexican one. They get crazy down there too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's wild. I mean, they'll like kill you. I mean, it gets that brutal over those in those games.
I like it.
You're down with it.
Right? I want to be a soccer hooligan.
just murder the other team's fans. You know, yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff goes on.
They're
passionate.
As a Cowboys fans, I would sure like to decease a couple of Philadelphia fans.
I mean, I saw, I think some...
That's a joke, people.
A Miami Dolphins fan killed, like, a Buffalo Bills fan or something last season. Do you remember that?
Yeah, man. Punched him in it.
And he died or something?
Look, all kidding aside here, I've never considered myself, like, a badass or nothing like that, man. But you hear these stories about guys fighting and hitting somebody and them dying. Dude, enough of those stories broke me on ever wanting to fight. You know, A, I don't want to get killed.
Yeah, that would suck.
You know, like, yeah, game over, right?
Not into
I got
that.
Things I want to do.
Yeah.
And B, I don't want to feel like I'm defending myself and punch a guy and him die. You got a better, maybe as a DA you could tell me this. We got a lot of good topics we're going to get to today, by the way, guys. And the whole first hour here included none of those. This was all just kind of winging it.
Yeah.
The next hour, there's a 13th ground for divorce. Jackson almost got a $500 million casino resort, but thanks to David Blunt, it didn't. And I think that's going to cover the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, yeah, you probably got a better chance of shooting somebody in self-defense and getting off than you do of punching them and them dying.
You know, I've never encountered a situation where someone punched someone that I had to prosecute and they died. That's an interest. I guess it depends on what the fight was. You know, usually if you get like a fist fight and then if you pull out a gun, then you could be, you know, charged with something because you're escalating the situation. Well, anyway, but then it's like a regular fist fight and someone dies. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could be charged with manslaughter or something like that.
I mean, I guess you're going to have to figure out who started it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that a fist fight's I guess maybe considered a depraved heart murder. I don't know. That's a stretch, but it could be. Interesting. I don't know. I've never encountered that.
That's interesting. All right, let's take our last break of the first hour here. We'll be back. Then we'll come back. We'll short segment. Then we'll have our top of the hour news. And then we're starting the second hour with they're finally about to potentially. They haven't passed a lick of good legislation this year yet, but they may be about to pass the 13th ground for divorce, which is.
It's a no-fault divorce.
No-fault divorce.
One-sided. Basically, you can file by yourself to get out of divorce instead of having an agreement or another actually fault-based ground.
Everybody is celebrating right now.
Essentially, if you're just not happy, you can file for divorce. Like you can in pretty much every other state, by the way.
All right. We're going to talk about it. We're going to unpack it next hour. We'll be right back. Breaking rules when necessary. That's what we do around here. That's going to be the next shirt, Sean. I think we got to get that on one, right?
I think it has to be.
Or do I just want to just say allegedly?
That's a good one, too, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Or Jackson. Somebody called me a villain the other day at the parade.
A villain?
You're like a Jackson villain. I was like, maybe that's a shirt, too.
That's, you know, I mean, you can just do a whole line on like Cheney does, you know, Jackson villain. Hashtag capital body shots, just all those things.
Speaking of shirts and hats and stuff, a new load of hats will be in today. We had the gray Fafo hat, just gray on white on the back. Now we're going to have black on the front and white on the back hats. And I am ordering some camo ones. That one camo hat I got sold like that.
Okay.
So go to buyfafo.com, get your shirts. I'll tell you what, actually hold off. And I'm going to run a special when I get all the hats in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you buy a shirt, or you buy a hat at full price, I'm going to give you something else, your choice of whatever else, a flag at discount. I appreciate you guys supporting me. I want to make sure I give y'all a little extra bang for your buck. We're off air. I'm just running my mouth through running it. Boom, shakalaka boom. It's hour two of the Clay Edwards Show live here on 103.9 FM WYAB. Your daily dose of reality radio, or whatever that first hour was, train wreck radio. Even I every now and then had to call a spade and say, I don't know that that was our best hour, Sean.
Yeah, it was a little all over the place. I mean, I woke up at 1 in the morning, so I'm a little off this morning.
Sean's halfway through his day.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is.
I'm not blaming it on Sean. I just, there was so much in the world that happened. I was like, well, I don't have to really make any notes because there's a million things I want to talk about. And then, of course, we didn't talk about a single thing that I had in my head to talk about. So it happens sometimes. Thank you all for bearing with us if you're still here for hour two. Real quick, this segment brought to you by Stonington Farm Beef. I talked to Miss Katie yesterday. I knew it as soon as I got off the air yesterday. I said, they'll be here next Friday, and I was correct. And look, I don't even know if they got any of these left. They were selling out fast, but they have a special. I committed to one of them. 30 pounds of hamburger meat in the individual one-pound bags. It's a box. 30 pounds for $200. Guys, that's a great deal for Stonington Farm beef, grass-fed, no antibiotics, no mRNA, no steroids, Mississippi-raised, grass-fed, grass-finished. Go to stoningtonfarm.com and get your order put in today. They'll be here next Friday. I think it's April 5th. And their normal pickup spots, Brandon, Ridgeland, and Florence. Stonington Farm with two N's .com. And, of course, they have more than just hamburger meat. You don't have to buy 30 pounds to get it. You can buy 1 pound. You can buy a half cow, a mini cow, one ribeye. I cooked a couple of Stonington Farm chuck eyes last night for me and Allison. Ended up being really good, as always. I've been on this, without going down a big rabbit hole here, I like to mix up my different seasonings and not use the same thing every time I cook a steak. And I've never been a huge marinade guy, like a liquid or a salad dressing based seasoning. Mm-hmm. But Tony Satchery's has a different marinade for different types of meat. And the one for steak is called Steakhouse. The one for chicken's really good too. Actually, they're all good. They got wild game, shrimp, chicken, fish, steak. The one for steak is phenomenal. I just marinated it in that yesterday for a couple hours. And by the time I threw them on, bada boom, it was fabulous. Of course, don't get me wrong, I can be olive oil, salt and pepper, all purpose seasoning guy. I'd be real simple, stupid with it, and that's great too. But every now and then, I like a little more zest. And anyway, I digress. But Stonington Farms, get your order in now. They'll be up here next Friday. Before we dive into this next conversation, why don't we take a call?
Okay.
All right, you're on there.
Morning, sir.
Morning, Kingfish.
I'll tell you a good marinade for you mentioned chuck eye steak. Take some soy sauce, get either the Paul Perdomo's, I like to use the black and red fish seasoning, or you can use the Tony Stasher's, mix it together. On sirloins and chuck eyes, it really brings out the flavor of those two steaks.
Good to know. Good to know. I am still learning how to really cook sirloin and chuck eye. I've been eating more of it the last year, and learning new things, new temps, new times, all that stuff as well. So I would definitely take that advice. Well,
it's hard to beat those prime ribeyes over at Sam's, though. I mean, for the price, you can't beat it.
No, you're right.
I just gonna see if y'all have got $2.6 million I can borrow. I can have.
Well. Somebody does from Madison. So I was late on that story, and I talked about it on my live stream yesterday. One of our listeners, Chris, had asked me my thoughts on it, and so I just ended up reading it in live time. Man, what a crap show that is. To me, I know you may know more than I do on this, Kingfish. I'm sure you do.
But from the outside looking in, okay.
Hold on, let me get my theory real quick. From the outside looking in, it looks like there may be two parties involved.
Yeah, I could see why you would say that, yeah. Basically, okay, to set this up, Hemp Hill has got a construction with a contract with the county for the Reunion Interchange Parkway, whatever that project is called. And so the county, the board of supervisors had approved the claims docket. Now, after they approve the invoices on the claims docket, then, of course, the comptroller, and then they take care of the actual physical acts of paying the contractor, in this case, Hemphill. Now, keep in mind, a Hemphill has not worked at the company in 50 years, and Jay Hemphill died 38 years ago. So, the purchasing clerk gets a copy of receives a copy of the invoice, and also a request, hey, we're changing banks. We want you to send our payments to this bank. Okay. And it apparently had signed by Jay Hemphill on it. And from what I understand, the spelling was notoriously bad. You know, like inquiry was spelled with an E and Q, if you see what I mean. It was just like what you see out of scam letters on the internet.
Yeah.
Scam emails. So now, by the way, purchasing clerk is, how would you say it? Grandbaby daddy of one of the supervisors. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, nepotism hire.
Oh, Madison County. Carl and Paul have got so many relatives stuffed all over the place, it's not funny. So anyway, so then he sends it on to the county comptroller. And there's some speculation as to her relationship with a certain supervisor. We'll just leave it at that, if you get my drift.
Mm-hmm.
You should call to verify this stuff, right? So she calls, and it's a guy with a Middle Eastern accent. No lie. A thick one. And she still falls for it. And so she starts sending out the payments. You can't make this up. Finally, after a while, Hemphill Construction lost their money, and they call in and say, hey, when are we getting paid? And we already paid you. No, you didn't. Yes, we did. And then they find out, oh my gosh, and they were about to send out another payment when they got caught. Yeah, there's going to be more money. Now here's the part that just, I think, burns up a lot of people. You would think they would fire the comptroller because make no mistake, the county's probably going to take a hit on this. Wouldn't you agree, Sean?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, I mean, your insurance doesn't cover this kind of fraud in most cases.
They don't cover stupid.
You're right. So she's bonded, I think, to like either $75,000 or $100,000. So it might cover that, but it will be. You know, I mean, they're still going to be out a lot of, you know, either over $1 million or millions of dollars are going to be out of. Now, they go to an executive session Monday. Of course, they want to hide it. Nobody made a motion to fire the comptroller. She can just shovel money out the door and still keep her job. No lie.
Paint me shocked. I mean, look. I don't feel sorry for these counties, these cities, when they make these mistakes and they get hustled. It is what it is. It's stupid. Well, I hope it comes out of the bottom line.
When they gripe about this, did you call your supervisor and raise Cain? Did you ask your supervisor why he didn't try to fire that person? I understand you may not have had the votes, but damn, put them on the record. You know? I know you got to go, but hey, switching subjects real quick. You were talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge yesterday.
Yes.
Remember that bridge up in Arkansas about 22 years ago that collapsed and fell and the tug hit it, the barge hit it, it killed like 14 people? Remember that?
I didn't realize it was in Arkansas, but I do remember that happening.
Yeah, it was. I think it's called the Arkansas Bridge, I think it is, or river or something like that. Anyway, yeah, tug hit it. The tugboat captain had a heart attack or some heart condition that made him black out, and it ran right into the bridge, collapsed, cars go in, 14 people died, more injured, et cetera. Okay, this is Paul Harvey, rest of the story stuff. You want ultimate irony. You want to guess what the captain's last name was?
What?
Deadman. You want to guess where he was from? Florence.
Really?
that family can't catch a break, can they?
The hits just keep coming. The hits.
All right, I'll let you get out of here, okay?
Thanks, Kingfish. Sean, I am glad he brought that up. It wasn't planned, but that Madison County thing is an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read about it briefly. I don't know as much as Kingfish does, obviously. So I just saw that they got scammed out of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I dabbled into it yesterday afternoon. I'm gonna be honest, and I was honest about this on my live stream. Somebody had asked me my thoughts on it. Man, the fraud case type stuff, it's just not what I necessarily navigate towards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, somebody got hustled out of $2+ million. A county got us. The tax money that y'all stole from us got stole from you.
Right.
I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, that's just kind of how I feel about it. I know I'm wrong. It's not how I'm supposed to feel. I'm supposed to be like, oh, it's crime. Lock them up. And I do agree. Lock them up if you can find them. But, man, just even hearing that story, how do you fall for that?
I don't know. Sounds like a Nigerian print scam.
And I joked yesterday and said this actually doesn't sound like one. But then you hear about how long the people that they use names were not involved, mm-hmm. and that it was a man with a thick Middle Eastern accent, and it's hemp heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to stereotype white Southerners, but most of them with the last name hemp heel don't have a think will come again. You know, that's Indian. I don't really do a real good like Middle Eastern accent, but anyway, let's eject on out of this one.
Yeah,
let's come back. Let's get into the divorce stuff.
Cool.
This is the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yurtkaran. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Real quick, Lakeland Glass and Tent. Get your ceramic window tint or ceramic coating lined up today. Of course, they can handle all your vehicle wrapping needs or paint protection film as well. Also, it's going to be warming up sooner rather than later. Get that ceramic window tint on your car, on your home, car, or business for that matter, and help keep those utility bills down this summer. LakelandGlassandTint.com today for a quote. They were named Expel's Dealer of the Year 2 years in a row. I can't be hyperbolic enough about how big of a deal that is. Get over there, see them today. Oh yeah, they do windshields too, and you get a free rock chip card, a free rock chip repair with every windshield purchase, so to use whenever you want throughout the ownership of the windshield or throughout the life of the windshield, however you want to phrase that. That's Lakeland Glass and Tint, where quality matters. Sean, speaking of quality mattering, the quality of spouse matters.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have made bad choices with their spouse. And sometimes it's just you're hot and heavy. You think things are going to be great. And then the second you have to live with one another or you get married, I don't know if it's because you settle, you're in, it's like, I don't have to try anymore, you know, mm-hmm. and you get these expectations of what marriage is or isn't supposed to be. And then it's time for a divorce. Let's fast forward to the divorce part.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, look, this ain't working no more. And then you get held hostage because somebody won't sign the divorce papers unless you give them a car or you give them this or you give them that, when it's just a dang no fault divorce. Well, at least that's what we thought they were. They don't have that in Mississippi.
Yeah, I mean, we have like what's called a irreconcilable difference of divorce if both parties agree to it. And then there's the 12 fault-based grounds, which are like adultery, abandonment, all that kind of stuff.
Mental illness, alcoholism, mm-hmm. Stuff of that nature.
Yeah. And so now there's a bill in the Senate. I think it passed the Senate. It was the 2535. I think it's in the House, the Judiciary A Committee, to create a 13th ground. A no-fault where somebody could just file for divorce on their own instead mm-hmm. of getting somebody to agree to it without having a fault-based ground, which is saying it was – I think they're calling it like irrevocably broken or something like that. I can't pronounce it, but that's what they're – so just like you – so say you're married and you're not happy with the marriage and you just really want a divorce. Well, you don't need – and you don't have a fault-based ground, like you don't have adultery or you don't have like cruel and unusual treatment.
You just wake up and you don't love this person no more.
Yeah, you just wake up and you say – and you – don't have to get their agreement to get the divorce because sometimes that other party doesn't want to, or like you said, hold you hostage. You can just go out and file for divorce yourself. And what this says. So,
and look, I know as a Christian, I'm supposed to be like, no, this is terrible. Marriage is is sanctus, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's
the sanctity of marriage,
right?
Yeah. You know, God frowns upon this. I'm just going to tell you, mistakes are made when people get married, and we get married too quickly now. I think that's a bigger problem than divorce, and that's why there's so many divorces, is people just want to have their weddings. And that sounds great. I want my wedding. I want that moment. I want those pictures. I want it to all be about me one day.
Yeah.
And that leads to divorces.
I mean,
the new wears off, once the credit card bills start coming in, once you realize that dream house requires a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, once somebody starts looking the other way, once somebody puts on a little weight, mm-hmm. once them kids then drove you bat crap crazy.
Right.
Whatever the case may be. You know, I went through a divorce last year, or 2 years ago, however long it's been now. And it was unnecessarily a nightmare because mm-hmm. this very thing didn't exist. And it cost me a lot more than it should have based on this not existing. There's no reason based on – I couldn't afford to do a cause,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the 12 causes.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to do this, and it was just a nightmare. And it shouldn't have to be. You shouldn't be forced to live with somebody or be with somebody that you don't want to.
Yeah, and apparently it's a problem for a lot of people, because I had several people contact me. I didn't even know this bill was there, and I got some contacts from several people about it. And, you know, and they were, you know, in situations like that. And that's a problem. Like, if you shouldn't be chained to this. If you want to get out, like that's just, I think you should be, you know, you're a free person. Like, this relationship is not working anymore. That's what I need to do. I think also another thing we were talking about at the break, I always never know why the government's involved in marriage in the first place. I get it for the support of children and property distribution, but the actual act of getting married, I've always been like, why is the government involved in this?
You know, and like the faith-based groups coming out against it and stuff. And look, I consider myself a Christian. There's some things that we don't line up eye to eye on, and the ability to get a divorce is one of them. What these groups don't realize is when they try to force people to stay married, just go get counseling. I'm not saying don't do all that, by the way.
Yeah.
But what's going to end up happening is your domestic violence stuff is going to go up, and forcing people to not put people in a situation where they can't get a divorce, or they're being held hostage by the person that won't sign the stuff, it creates all these opportunities to create domestic violence, people murdering people to get out of divorces,
mm-hmm.
All kind of things. I mean, there's people who leave, and like, you can leave your spouse today, right, and move out. But you know as well as I know, in Mississippi, there's no legal separation.
No.
I mean, you're technically married until the divorce. You can't move on to another relationship, no matter how long you've been separated. None of that. So then the second you move on to another relationship, you're technically cheating. And then that person could be sued for, what's it called?
Alienation of affection.
Alienation of affection. I mean, these are, and that's another terrible law.
Yeah, that's it's still used, by the way. Really, I think, if I remember correctly, and I'm not a family lawyer, but I do know a little bit about that one, is that I think there has to be, you'd have to had broken the relationship in order for that to be effective, or like you would have like cause the affection to be alienated. So I think if you already separated, you may not be able to be sued for that. I'm not 100% sure on that, because I've never done that. I don't do that kind of law, but I think that's what I remember, that you actually have to like alienate the affection.
I don't even think that should matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody made the conscious decision to cheat, then they made the conscious decision to cheat.
Yeah.
Just because you're the person that they cheated with, I'm not saying it makes you right, especially if you knew. I'm not sure. Defending that. All this stuff is bad. But going back to the conversation at hand.
But it's an archaic law. I know what you're saying. The law is archaic on that.
They are. The marriage laws are way more difficult here than they should be. And, you know, we should have some limitations on how many times you can get married in Mississippi. We don't. I've looked into this. We've reached out to people, and there is no limitation on how many times you can get married. I know people are like, oh, I know a girl that had to go to Arkansas to get married. She went to Arkansas because that's where she wanted to get married.
It says urban.
You can get married as many times as you want. Getting divorced is the problem in Mississippi. If you can make it through 7 or 8 divorces, you have accomplished something.
Yeah. I mean, you got a high tolerance for pain, I guess, if you can do that. That's like an urban legend. Like, there's a limit on the times you get married. And the other one I always hear is you can be banned from the state. And I've never seen that happen. Maybe you can be. I just don't know. But there's like the two urban legends I always hear.
I did have a friend. We'll call him Brad for the sake of this story, that when we were minors, he did get kicked out of the state of Mississippi. He got sent over to live with his grandparents in Louisiana. They said, if you stayed here, you're going to juvenile hall till you turn 18. Mm-hmm. Or he can go live with his grandparents in Louisiana. He did that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've not seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's out there.
He found a good old coon ass, knocked her up. And
is he married now?
Not to her.
Oh, okay.
He actually married one of these girls that people said had to go to Arkansas to get married. So I'm pulling this whole story. A lot of people are going to know who I'm talking about, but I refuse to say their names. Anyway, so there's just like this girl in our social circle or my sphere of influence, whatever you want to call it, 6 degrees of separation, that's been married a bunch.
Okay.
And, I mean, like, she's one of these girls, like, I don't know if she thinks that you have to be married to everybody you sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
So she just gets married. She's like, no, I'm only sleeping with you if you get married.
Because we're married. Okay, yeah.
You know, anyway, there's just so much to unpack there.
I think this is a good bill. I hope they pass it. I think it makes sense. It's about time. You know, in Alabama, you can go and do this. Like, I mean, we're talking about, it's not like Alabama's the most progressive state in the world. So you go across and, you know, if you live in Alabama, you can get divorced this way. And so it just seems like it's kind of appropriate at this point to instead of the, and I mean, the only argument against it is that, like, that I've seen is that, you know, it allows, it's too, it makes divorce too easy. Like, so, like, you're supposed to be stuck. It's not supposed to be hard to get divorced. Well, I mean, it should be up to the government to tell you how to work out your own relationship. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that should be a governmental function.
Yeah, I think conservatives are quite conflicted here because we're supposed to be about smaller government, but then we want government in our personal lives.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. But, you know, I think it's kind of this back and forth on the marriage thing. We got a text here, unknown texter. I totally love this bill. I am also a Christian. I have been held hostage for 3.5 years. It's ridiculous of the cost of a divorce as well. It's ridiculous for the cost of a divorce as well. Mm-hmm. Irreconcilable differences is the cheaper way out. I have so many causes out of those 12, but I could not afford it if I wanted to. My divorce, for example, I think I spent about $1,500 in my lawyer fees.
Yeah.
Just for the irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. But I got held hostage to get for the other person to agree to that.
Yeah, she wasn't going to sign it. Right?
Yeah, she wasn't going to sign it. She didn't get this, or didn't get that, or didn't get this. So I had to weigh it out. Then, okay, so I'm nothing but honest here. She wanted a car. I had a car. Car was worth about $4,000. If I had gone through the causes and picked the cause, the reason why I was getting divorced, and I had calls.
Mm-hmm.
His fee went up to like $4,000.
Sure.
And it could go up higher than that. So I was like, just give the car, wash my hands and be done with it, or go through and feel like I won something, you know? And I was like, take the car, sign here, let's get on with our lives.
And, you know, I have a lot of lawyer friends that do this, and they always say, a lot of them say, you know, I'll just do the, I reconcile the difference divorces because, you know, it's easier, and the fault one can get kind of hectic and everybody's always mad and it's just a complete mess.
Yeah, I'm over here. I'm saying calls. I mean fault.
Yeah, same.
With calls.
And it's just such a, you know, such a pain. But this obviously is going to make it easier for everybody. I think, you know, the only organizations I can see right here, there's American Family Association is against it. And I'm sure there's, you know, some groups like that that are. But I wondered if you polled this, how many people in the state would be in favor of it?
There's some things that the faith-based organizations, based on their existence, have to publicly be against.
Mm-hmm.
This, abortion, stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
So I understand their position. I just think this ain't abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, this could actually save lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different than abortion. I think just looking at those two issues, I mean, and here, I think it goes in, it's interesting, again, like you said, like the conservatives are, you know, because of limited government. I mean, this is government trying to tell you how to run your relationship, which is kind of insane when you think about it.
Yeah, I don't think you should have to. Do we have common law marriages in Mississippi?
No, I don't think so.
And that's basically where, if I've looked into it a little bit over the years, or my general assumption of common law, like somebody can refer to a common law wife, mm-hmm. is like, you've lived together for X amount of time, you share everything, yeah. but you're not legally married. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody can go change their last name. You don't have to be married to change your last name. If my girlfriend wanted to become Miss Edwards today, she could go down there and decide she can be Miss Edwards. She could be Miss Santa Claus.
Yeah, they could go
if
down.
If she wants to be.
Yeah, you can go to Chancery Court and file a name change petition and file it there.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's take a break. Come back. We're going to talk about casinos in downtown Jackson and why Jackson just lost out on a $500 million casino resort that would have completely reinvigorated and reimagined downtown Jackson. Who's to blame? I got names. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show live here on WYAB. Hey, guys. We want to welcome Ready Teddy McRaney to Reliable Rental Equipment. That's right. The legendary car salesman, my friend, your friend, the crawfish-eating king, the champ even, the Ric Flair of crawfish-eating is officially over at Reliable Rental Equipment right there in Jackson. Teddy's from Jackson. It's the perfect fit for him. I may even take a little credit for him ending up over there. Get over there. See Ready Teddy. See Steven, the owner. Get yourself a nice piece of rental equipment. Or, hey, you can buy it, too. They got side-by-sides. They got golf carts. And, of course, they got all your heavy machinery, rental, and rollback dumpsters is their specialty. And they're doing free delivery within, I think, 10-mile radius and 50% off on rollback dumpsters. Mm-hmm. So, look, we had some storms come through the other night. You got some storm cleanup. Holler at Reliable Rental Equipment. They can even provide the crew to do the cleaning up, or you can get just the dumpster. Reach out to Ready Teddy McRaney over there. He'll get you set up. And, of course, they got all your heavy equipment, zero-turn mowers, and everything else you need. For all my contractor friends from start to finish, Reliable Rental Equipment. You can check them out online, ReliableRentalEquipmentMS.com. Congratulations to my old friend, Ready Teddy McRaney. I think it's going to be a great, great career move for him.
That's awesome. Good for Teddy, man. Teddy's also the Bull Peanuts guy.
Yeah, he's the Bull Peanut guy, too.
I forget about that. He brought me some one day when I was sitting at Finian's, and it saved me some money on ordering food, so I appreciate that.
Yep. All right, so casinos in Jackson. Now, Andrew here tells me the take on the casinos in Jackson is the worst I've heard. There are too many now. I get that it would be convenient, and yeah, a lot of people would go, but the fun of going to casinos is the trip, and the money would just be stolen. Remember when casinos were going to save our roads and schools? I disagree 100%. The casinos have done great for places they're at.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's. I mean, would there be a Vicksburg if there wasn't casinos? I mean, I guess you'd have the historical tourism industry there, but that's about it.
I mean,
there's a Corps of Engineers.
And this whole part, the journey is in the trip. The enjoyment is in the trip, not the destination. That's life, not a trip to the casino. I disagree wholeheartedly with you. And what the money it does do for that area, what it does for the schools in those areas and the roads in those areas, and all that aside, the jobs it brings to those areas. Mm-hmm. Jackson needs something. They could open up a bunch of brothels. They could legalize prostitution in Jackson. It needs something.
I mean, that would work.
There's zero industry in Jackson.
I think that's the whole point of it. Is this going to create, you know, a bunch of jobs? And I get the article I read said that it's possible, like 2,000 possible jobs.
2,000 possible jobs.
I mean, that's a lot of jobs, and especially what it could do to transform downtown Jackson, I think would be just kind of amazing right there. And I mean, we're always talking about investment in the capital city. Well, here you go.
Yeah. I name me another industry that could come in and instantaneously change the entire perception of a city. that realistically, based on education and skilled workforce and all that?
I'm racking my brain. I can't really think of anything that could have that kind of impact
instantaneously. Mm-hmm. I mean, what it does for tourism, everything.
Yeah. I mean, it would make Jackson somewhat of a tourist destination, which would be kind of amazing.
I mean, talk about redeveloping a stretch of downtown along the Pearl River there that's never been nothing more than a few warehouses and marshland.
I was also thinking, and I may have told you this yesterday, what it would do for Commerce Street, that whole district right there that they've been trying to do something with. That would just reinvigorate that whole area. I don't know. I just, in terms of Jackson, now I know there's other considerations with it, and I get that. I get if you're a representative from Vicksburg, you don't want it. If you're from the coast, you don't want it. You're protecting your foxhole. I get that. I mean, but we're protecting ours too. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the difference. We'd want it because we're from Jackson. I mean, it'd be for us.
Here's another text that I completely disagree with on the Guns and Gear text line. It says, casinos did not help Greenville. It's completely destitute. Sorry, my screen went blank on me here. Basically saying casinos didn't help Greenville. It's complete destitute and crime-ridden and just depressing. It's completely destitute and full of poverty and drugs. Well, they basically put a houseboat out there as a casino.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be honest about it. Greenville's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So you're getting there. What is the draw to Greenville?
I have no clue.
I mean, where are you coming from that you decide Greenville is where you're going to? Jackson, say what you want, say what you will, is still the capital city. It's still in the center of the most highly populated area of the state.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get people from Madison, Rankin, Kapai, etc. They're going to come. They would come to a Jackson casino. Where Jackson ain't, say whatever you want. No, there's not been a bigger critic of Jackson than me. But Jackson and Greenville ain't on the same field in anything.
No, I mean let's just be honest. The Delta's been and has long time been a dying region, and that's just the fact of life. I'm not saying I'd want it that way, but it just is what it is. And
a casino wasn't going to save Greenville.
No, I think it would have a massive impact in Jackson if we were able to have one. Now, I don't know what that's going to do for the gaming industry as a whole. That may be another issue that has negative consequences too. But if we're looking at it just from a Jackson perspective, I think that's it's a good thing for Jackson.
Well, so let's put this out there. There's a lot of blame to go around. It was going to be a minimum of $500 million investment.
Yeah,
I want to make sure. So this wasn't going to be a paddle boat on the Pearl River.
No.
No knock on the Ameristar. It is my personal favorite casino in Vicksburg. But this wasn't going to be an Ameristar. This was going to be something along the lines of a Hard Rock, Beau Rivage type investment in the downtown Jackson. So make sure the word resort is properly used here, because that's what it was going to be. David Blunt, it didn't even make it out of committee because they said when it went to gaming, he was a hard no.
Did it? Well, it did, wasn't. It, was it in? It was in the House. And I thought Trey Lamar in the House didn't.
In the Ways and Means or whatever.
Yeah, it just allowed the bill to die. And then I guess maybe David had said he wasn't going to, if it goes to the Senate.
Is
that what's going to happen?
Yeah, he's in over the Gaming Commission or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Gaming Commission, but the Gaming
Committee. Yeah.
And so I don't want to. We don't want to sit here and play the morals game, and it's immorally wrong, and none of that. Well, if he has moral problems with it, he shouldn't be over the Gaming Committee.
Yeah.
To begin with. And he didn't say that. I'm just throwing that out there. And of course, the Coast delegation and the Vicksburg, the delegations from other places that have casinos all fought against it. And one of the things they used in their crying about it was, this goes against free market capitalism because they're kind of handpicking a developer for this.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk about the casinos and free market capitalism. I have a hard time feeling sorry for any of them. I've mentioned it on this show before. They're bringing in working on, the bill should pass this session, but again, no good legislation has come out yet, so we'll see if it happens or not. The online gambling stuff, the fantasy football, being able to gamble on all that stuff, and they gerrymandered that bill to where if any of these, what are some of those apps? FanDuel, stuff like that.
Stuff like that,
So if FanDuel or them come in, they must team up with a existing casino in Mississippi.
That's correct.
So it's already corporate protectionism for the casinos. So I have a hard time listening to the casinos talk about free market capitalism.
Yeah.
When they're getting corporate protectionism from our state government already.
Yeah, I mean, and they certainly are. I do think if they opened up to other developers than just one, that would probably be more appropriate. I can get with them on that. I think that would be. But I think to me that the rub seems to be having a casino in central Mississippi.
That's it.
I think that's the real rub here. And because, I mean, okay, we'll fix the bill or do it next session or whatever you want to do and then open up to other developers. Fine with me. But let's all agree to have one here. And that seems to be the problem. They don't want one here because it's going to hurt gaming in other parts of the state.
Yeah, and maybe they could say the other ones wouldn't have built if they had known they were going to do one in Jackson. Mm-hmm. That's life.
Yeah, I mean, just like we had this conversation on the drive over here. What
this feels like certificate of need laws here. I mean, it's like why are we having to fight to put a hospital somewhere?
I mean, just because, like, yeah, it's gonna hurt the other places that have invested in this. Which, I mean, I'm not saying that's not a problem. I mean, I can see that, but I think, but the problem, we do have a problem right here. And if this, and obviously, someone was willing to put the money into this to do this, and you know, Trey Lamar thought it was a good idea, which I agree with him on that. And you know, so, and we can obviously see the positive economic impacts from it. I don't know how you could deny that the metro area would have positive economic impacts from it. So. But it looks like we're not going to get it, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
Ty says on the Guns and Gear text line, y'all making this casino sound like the Ozarks of Jackson. Blake says again, Blake says, I don't understand why anyone would disagree with anything coming to Jackson that's going to draw people to Jackson, especially if it's going in the CCID where it will be fairly safe. More to the story, Jacksonians don't want things to get better. What I actually think Jacksonians do. I think most Jacksonians would have been for this.
Yeah.
I think there's a select handful who are pulling the strings that probably have some influence with David Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree. I'm going to guess probably, Sean, it's probably a lot of people that live in your neighborhood that think they don't want that in Jackson. But
not
I
in
think,
my backyard kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's people a lot like of that. Because it is close to Belhaven and, you know, and Fonda and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean,
I would think that exponentially the property values people, you know, these casinos outside of, you know, wait staff are really good paying jobs.
Yeah.
People are going to want to live closer to where they work. Mm-hmm. There's a neighborhood right there. Boom. I mean, I think your property value goes up. Imagine what it does to the property value along Commerce Street and frankly, throughout downtown with what that brings. It's so much more than just gambling that comes with these resort-style casinos. Mm-hmm. It's the hotels. It's the restaurants. It's the concert venues.
Yep.
It's all this stuff. Y'all are thinking too small-minded if all you're thinking is gambling.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And yeah, just like I said before, it radically alters downtown Jackson for the positive, I think. And now that now that we have the CCID there and then it's safe there, it's kind of set it up for this to happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. And I mean, like, and I'm with you on, I don't know what other kind of economic development is going to radically alter Jackson.
There's not one.
If there's, I mean, I just can't, I mean, you know, not Topgolf. I mean, that's not going to do it.
No, and that's not Jackson.
Right, I know it's not Jackson, but yeah. I'm just saying, I know Chokwe had wanted Topgolf at one point, and I mean, that's not going to have, would not have the same kind of impact that a casino would.
We got to take a break, but I'm going to say this. I'm curious what Chokwe and them's position on this was. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess they're probably against it because of lack of minority involvement or something along those lines. But let's say all things being fair and equal, there's a minority ownership in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do they feel about it then? I think it should go to vote.
I'd like to see what Chokwe says about it. You know, it'd be interesting what his opinion was.
Yeah, he's not going to give me a comment, but if any of y'all out there that listen to this show that are in media have access to him, I would like to know.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Sean, we got about 30 seconds here. No, we don't. We got about 20 seconds. I'll say this. I think you are all dead wrong about the casino in Jackson if you think it's anything but a net positive for the city. But it ain't going to happen anyway. The powers that be got their way, so it's all a moot point. Sean, thank you. I will see y'all tomorrow.